Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. We have a really special guest today. I'm so excited to have on the show Ellen Grace O'Brien. She's the author of a book, The Jewel of Abundance, Finding Prosperity Through the Ancient Wisdom of Yoga. And she's just a very, you know, very well-trained, well-polished, an amazing spiritual teacher. She's a yogacharya, which means an esteemed yoga teacher. She's a radio host and an award-winning poet who weaves poetry into her teachings on spiritual matters and really is bringing this beautiful and sort of intense mystical yogic practices into the modern language, into our modern life. And it's exciting to me because she was ordained into this yogic tradition through a direct disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda, who I'm also a big fan of. He's one of my special spiritual teachers too. And so Ellen Grace O'Brien's been teaching Kriya Yoga philosophy and has been practicing this nationally and internationally for over 3 decades. And in her book, The Jewel of Abundance, she's really created a very unique and interesting idea about how we can find prosperity through using these very ancient and beautiful yogic principles. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here, Ellen.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a delight to be with you and your listeners. I appreciate this very much.
Oh, me too. And I really, like I said, loved your book because I'm a big, huge Yogananda fan. And I was telling you before we started that somebody gave me his book, autobiography of a yogi when I was young. I was 18 and I've read that book like 100 times. And I know we're going to talk about your book, but I'm wondering if you could just tell me a little bit before we get started what it's like to study in his lineage.
It's a great blessing to study in that tradition of Kriya Yoga that Paramahansa Yogananda brought to the West, you know, in 1920. And really my book about prosperity, is a direct connection, you know, to my relationship of studying the teachings and his legacy, because he was very strong on living our spiritual life in a practical way. So he was an illumined sage. He was devotional in his nature, which you can tell from reading Autobiography of a Yogi or his other books. But he was also, you know, very practical and really encouraged people to use their mind and to use what he called their wisdom-guided will to succeed in life. And so I always felt very encouraged about that path that was a mystical path, that is a mystical path, but is also very practical. So, you know, learn the truth about who you are, be spiritually wise, but practically minded.
It's very, I think, different, you know, maybe for us Western practitioners of this, you know, of yoga. And we think about, well, when you become a yogi, you become a beggar, you give up all your possessions, you mm-hmm. have a begging bowl, you walk around, you know, India barefoot and have nothing. And that's not really what these four principles are about, right?
No, not at all. And it's really interesting, you know, when you get a chance to study them, you know, the principles, of course, that we're referring to are called the Purusharthas, and they're the four universal aims of life that are drawn from the Vedas, the ancient Vedic teachings. And here we have, you know, four. There's only four. There's not, you know, 24, but four aims of life. And the first one, you know, is Dharma, to live with higher purpose. And a lot of people are familiar with Dharma today. You know, they'll say, well, it's my Dharma to do this. You know, it's my purpose to do this. But the second goal, which this book is about, is Artha. And Artha means wealth. And So, you know, we really have to think about, gee, you know, here's universal goals that are drawn from this great spiritual tradition. And one of the goals is wealth. And the next one is surprising for people too. That goal is pleasure, which don't you just want to say hallelujah?
Yeah, you know, hallelujah.
That life, you know, is meant to be enjoyed. And that too is related to a deep spiritual teaching that the nature of the soul is bliss. It's ananda, it's joy. And so when we're living in accordance with our own soul, with our own spiritual truth, then joy is a natural experience that we have. And then the last goal, the fourth goal, is moksha, or liberation of consciousness, enlightenment in this lifetime. So that's the four. And in those four goals, we find wealth and a prosperity, which is artha. But of course, the teachings are that wealth and prosperity is meant to support us fulfilling our dharma or living with higher purpose. It's not for its own sake, which is where people take the wrong turn on money and wealth, right? You know, just pursuing it as an end in itself, as if that would bring us happiness. So these teachings say, no, that's not going to work. And of course, if we look, we know that's not going to work. So this is all about how to have a spiritually conscious, prosperous, fulfilled life. It's a beautiful teaching.
I love it. And I feel like there's sort of like these checks and balances in these four rules. Like, the, you know, if we just had, you know, the rule of dharma and the rule of consciousness, we might give up our human existence, or it might not be any fun, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the truth is that when, you know, this teaching about wealth, learning how to attract the resources that we need to do the good work that we're inspired to do in the world, that is so important. And one of the reasons that I wrote the book, because I've been teaching for many years, and I know, you know, I've met so many people who are spiritually inclined, and then they get to this juncture where they don't know how to make their quote-unquote spiritual life and their material life work. You know, like, how do I keep my job and still, you know, be focused on meditation? So this is really about, you know, clearing up the idea that there is a separation between the two, because there's really not. And we really need to get rid of that idea that there's a spiritual life and a material life. There's just a spiritual life that includes all of it.
Right. It's like this, the deeper teaching. And, you know, if we have just the pleasure and the bliss without, and the money without the spiritual principles that, you know, of dharma and enlightenment, then you're too far in the pleasure trap. So it's like having, you know, oars on both sides of the boat that kind of keep you going in a straight line.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it. That's exactly how it is. And, you know, I have found that, you know, once we have this map, you know, we have this pattern, then we can also see that learning how to thrive, learning how to prosper, is also a way that we can grow spiritually. Because, you know, I like I've said in the book, this is about becoming the growing edge of love in the world. And, you know, so we're growing beyond our own, you know, little cocoon of self-concern and or self-doubt, or, you know, whatever it is. It's like you have to get out of that and fulfill your potential, which is, you know, being of service and contributing to the well-being of all, whether that is in a, you know, a small circle or a global circle. It's all about, you know, expanding our potential and fulfilling the divine idea that we are.
Yeah, I was reading your book, I could really feel sort of, I don't know how, if it's the spirit of philanthropy in there, but it came across my mind that if all the spiritual people that I know had boatloads of money and could really figure out this prosperity thing, we'd all be giving it away. We'd all be like, you know, like
totally.
Living this, you know, these
yes.
lives, these philanthropic lives where we give and give. And if you don't have anything to start with, you can't really give.
Yeah, and you really did capture and that my spirit in the book. Lisa, thank you for that. That really is the vision. And one of the women that I'm working with on my team, you know, in terms of getting the message out about the book, she said, this is about a dharmic prosperity revolution. I thought that is
that.
So great. Don't you love that?
Yes.
It's so good. Just think about, and I have that vision of an empowered world where, you know, people can do good work and they're not scraping to do it. I mean, there are people who have wealth and who do really good things with their wealth, but there are not enough people, you know, it's too out of balance. You know, there are not enough people with enough basic resources for one thing. And then there are not enough people who are, you know, ready to do good work, who know how to really attract what they need to do it.
It just makes me think of Yogananda and his life. He had to raise a lot of money over the course of his life for, you know, at a school in India. He had, you know, these big yogic centers in California. And he worked with a lot of people that had money. And I think it's like he's a good example, or he is the example we're talking about, right? That
yeah.
What you would do to create wealth and prosperity, but have it be for the greater good.
Absolutely. And he wasn't shy, you know, about having a big vision. And I think that's one of the keys is, you know, being willing to be an instrument, you know, for whatever is ours to do, you know, which is why Dharma is first. So it's not just about, you know, taking a place on the big stage. It's really about specifically doing what is ours to do and then being able to do it well and to call forth whatever is needed, you know, to do that. And, you know, sometimes the resources are wealth, but wealth comes in many forms, you know, it can be money or it can be, you know, a people of a certain consciousness that you can work with. There are many avenues of wealth. It can be loving relationships. It can be vibrant health, you know. All those things I would include in the definition of wealth.
And what I love it that you include all that. I think probably we're a little stuck on the idea that it's money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we open to these ideas, we come to see that money is just one form of energy flow.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about is energy flowing from the divine, if you will,
yes,
to us. So that we can fulfill our purpose here and
yeah.
and be happy, and so we can fully integrate our humanity into our spiritual experience.
Absolutely, and it does take many forms. And you know, one of the main things is one of the main tools, of course, is learning how to work with the mind, right? You know, learning. You know, you were speaking about all the different forms of energy, and it made me think about, well, one of the things that we have to do, of course, is become aware of energy, and we have to become aware of the mind and the nature of the mind and how our beliefs and our integrity have everything to do with how well we can be in what I would call the prospering stream of life. And so, you know, part of the program is learning how to examine our own beliefs. You know, one of the things I have in the book is a little step that I call the willingness diagnostic, because, you know, the idea is that life itself, you know, prospers itself. You know, everything, there's the energy in life that moves everything towards fulfillment of its purpose. You know, an apple tree is given the right conditions, it's going to blossom and bear fruit. And for a human being, you know, that energy is there in us to wake up, you know, to the truth of what we are, and then to express ourselves. So you know, there's a thing for us about being willing to be all that we can be, you know, being willing to flower and bear fruit. And although we would think that we were willing, sometimes, you know, we can be a little bit afraid or hesitant of what that might require of us.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what gets in our way? You know, what blocks us? Why is this so difficult for most people?
I think, you know, it's different for every person, but, you know, the primary obstacle, as yoga teaches it, is the first and primary obstacle is not being aware of what we really are as spiritual beings. You know, so we tend to think of ourselves in more limited ways. You know, we just tend to identify with the mind and the body and circumstances and beliefs, and all those are limiting factors. And so, you know, waking up to our essence of being, you know, we can begin to open our mind and consciousness to possibilities greater than, you know, what we may have imagined for ourselves. So, you know, that's the core one. And then there are other ways in which we sometimes need to change our mind, you know, from an idea of lack to one of abundance.
And can you give some ideas? I know this, your book has sort of a lot of really practical things in it. What are some practical things we can do to do that?
Well, you know, I actually devoted two chapters in the book to meditation, because that's the foundational skill for opening up our hearts and our minds, you know, to the infinite. So it might seem unrelated to abundant living, but it is at the core, you know, the way that we stop being overly involved in our thoughts, because by their very nature, you know, thoughts are always constricting, you know, to the self. Mm-hmm. Self is beyond thought. It's greater than thought. So when we can meditate on a daily basis and just touch in on that infinite divine self, we're touching in on that infinite possibility. So I have, you know, two chapters in the book that are focused on that. That one skill can make all the difference in a prosperous life, because it also is a way in which we begin to experience more of our innate wholeness, our innate fullness. So the way that we go about moving to experience prosperity in life is different. You know, it changes from coming from a sense of lack, you know, of needing something to make us better, whole, complete, happy, you know, you name it, versus starting with a sense of wholeness, a sense of fullness, and then simply opening to the possibilities of life. It's a very different place that you come from when you have that meditative, direct experience of your own wholeness.
Yeah, and I love how you talk too about sort of stepping out of our corner, you know, and maybe when we're whole and we're feeling full of energy and we're stepping out of our corner to help other people, I was really envisioning as I was reading your book, like sort of like turning on the fire hose and letting this stream of energy, you know, prosperity, consciousness, wholeness, you know, move through us, and at like, and then we can bring that to other people, as a way for it. Almost like it has to have somewhere to go.
Yeah, that's a lovely way to think of it. Yeah, and you know, another way that I'm sort of envisioning, you know, as I hear you talk about this great stream of energy, I sometimes think of it, you know, when I meditate, like we're all in it, you know, this great, in a way, like this great ocean of abundance, And sometimes, you know, we just forget that we're in it. And so we get, we separate ourselves into this little fear-based spot, you know, of contraction. But anytime, you know, we know how to change our minds and open our hearts, open our consciousness, we can experience that we're in this great ocean of abundance, and everyone else is as well. And so then we're, in a sense, we're coming from abundance to abundance. So I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like we experience it inside of ourselves, and then we also experience it around us. So it comes to meet us. You know, we're in the right place at the right time. We meet the right people at the right time. We're able to give the gifts that we're here to give. We're able to receive the gifts that are for us. So that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And it really feels to me like you're talking about sort of a deeper spiritual journey. Like, this is a big spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. And as we awaken to our bigger spiritual nature and connect with that divine energy, then prosperity is a part of that.
Yes.
And a part of that for everyone. It reminded me of like waking up out of a bad dream where everyone is, you know, poor and into the truth. It's like the nightmare, which is, you know, sometimes our experience for sure, but, you know, isn't the reality of the higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's work to do. There's a lot of work to do in our world. You know, there's a lot of inequality, and there are so many things that we can do. But ideally, we want to do it from the right mindset, you know, where we're recognizing the spiritual nature of everyone and everything, and that we're calling forth this spirit of abundance in a way that recognizes the sacred.
And what can we do to address some of those issues in the world when we're coming from that abundance mindset?
I think we all have to do, and as I said, you know, what is ours to do, and that's really helpful, you know, to get clear about what our talents are, what our gifts are, what our role is, what we're here to do, and then you know, take steps to contribute. And, you know, ideally, when we look at, well, what is mine to do, you know, one of the questions we ask is, how will it serve? You know, not just how will it help me succeed, but how will it serve life? And to me, that's a primary question.
Right. I mean, I think that, you know, we could all sort of argue that greed is a big problem we have in our world right now. And the people that have more, maybe there's sort of more of a divide between the people who have and don't have. Mm-hmm. And it occurs to me as you're talking that if everyone was in sort of this higher spiritual mindset, you know, and that we're all one and the planet's important too. And, mm-hmm. you know, the animals are and plants are important and mm-hmm. it's all of equal importance, that's sort of where we come to when we do a lot of spiritual work. And then we're in sort of this more even flow of prosperity.
Yeah.
It's a nice dream, isn't it?
Well, it's a vision. It is a vision, and I think it is a vision for our time. And, you know, there's a lot of suffering in our world that comes from this greed. But, you know, greed, it comes from an unawakened consciousness. And so, you know, we can all do our best to leave that behind by doing what we can do, you know, to be awake and to understand the nature of desire, which, you know, just having more and more, wanting more and more, simply brings suffering. And if we look, we can see that. Although, you know, it's important to say, look, you know, a certain level of having what you need is really important. And there are people in the world who don't have enough, you know, who don't have what they need. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, when you get to a certain level, having more is not going to be that helpful. What becomes helpful is being in touch with how you can serve life, because it's that connects us to a higher form of happiness.
And Ellen, how can we get your beautiful book, The Jewel of Abundance?
Thank you for asking. It's available everywhere, I think, that books are sold. So you can get it directly from my website at ellengraceobrien.com. And that's O'Brien with an A, O-B-R-I-A-N.com. So you can get it there. You can get it at Amazon or other book distributors. So it's just there.
Thank you so much for being here. I wish we had another hour to talk, and sadly we're out of time, but thank you so much for being here today, Ellen, and with sharing your beautiful work with the world and with us.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's been really a pleasure talking with you, and I agree we could go on. it's been really a delight, and thank you again for inviting me.
Me too, and thank all of you guys. If you're looking for me, you can find me on my website, lisacampion.com. If you feel so inclined, I would love to hear from you. And thanks for joining us today on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time, right here on Empower Radio.